Earth and Sky.
It may well be that we will have solar power plants in the middle of the Pacific Ocean that will be making liquid fuel, and we'll be transporting that in tankers just the way we transport oil in now.
You're listening to Harry Gray, professor of chemistry at the California Institute of Technology, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Professor Gray believes that solar fuel cells could be providing clean, renewable energy to the world in about two decades. He spoke to Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about how the technology works and how solar energy could change the world.
Professor Gray, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. I'm happy to be here.
We've long looked to the sun as a huge potential source of energy for the planet. So are we getting any closer to harnessing the power of the sun effectively?
We're getting much closer. We now have photovoltaics that you can get 30-year guarantees on that convert sunlight to electricity with at least 10% efficiency. Some of the photovoltaics go up as high as 15 to 20% efficiency. So we're improving the photovoltaic efficiencies every year. We are, in fact, making great progress towards harnessing the power of the sun.
And your work, specifically, is to create fuel from the sun, which is very different from solar panels that you can put on your house. So can you explain the science behind this idea? I mean, how can you create a fuel from sunlight?
By splitting water. And the reason we need fuel is because when the sun goes down in the late afternoon, you can no longer make electricity from photovoltaic devices because they simply stop working when the sun goes down. So we need to store the solar energy. We need to store the solar energy in chemicals such as hydrogen, fuel such as hydrogen or methyl alcohol or other energy-rich molecules. And we can do this by splitting water with sunlight, by capturing the sunlight, introducing it into various kinds of devices that will capture it and run electrons and protons around and then make hydrogen fuel by splitting water. Then we can take the hydrogen fuel that we make by splitting water and the oxygen, which is another product, recombine them in some devices called fuel cells, which make electricity directly from hydrogen and oxygen. We can do that then anytime, day or night.
Just to get the whole picture, how does sunlight split the water?
Think of a device, an artificial photosynthetic device, something that's working like a green leaf. The device has various components, a light capture part, a electron hole separator, and catalysts that will actually take these high-energy particles and make hydrogen and oxygen. This is photosynthesis. This is what we call artificial photosynthesis, because natural photosynthesis uses natural materials, living materials, and artificial photosynthesis uses man-made materials. That's really the only difference.
So what does this device look like?
If you can imagine a tiny forest of micro rods, oxide rods coming out of one end, and a little micro forest of silicon rods coming out another end with a membrane in between, this is what the device looks like.
Okay. And can you give me a larger context of where is that device placed so that it can capture the sunlight and break down the water?
We imagine this being incorporate into polymers, so it would be something like a carpet. Imagine a solar carpet. Think of a carpet covering, say, a roof that we would make a roof, say, at Los Angeles Airport. Water would flow in, and hydrogen would be generated, and then we'd have fuel cells around in various places that would convert the hydrogen and air into electricity. That's one sort of thing. We could have stationary solar power plants that would be large plants that would have arrays of these devices I'm talking about, but they would always be probably in combination with fuel cells so that you could generate electricity after you'd stored the hydrogen.
What are the challenges of creating solar fuel?
We have devices that do exactly what I've said, but they're extremely expensive. They're made from materials like platinum and gallium arsenide that are just simply too expensive. We need to build cheap devices, non-toxic devices, made out of earth-abundant materials, and that is a huge challenge to make these cheap, abundant materials work as well as the really expensive, rare materials.
So how would this energy source work in the real world?
Well, it's going to work. It's going to work in solar power plants. It's going to work in local homes. It's going to work in large spaces where there's lots of sunlight. The desert, there are going to be large power plants. It could work in the ocean. It may well be that we will have solar power plants in the middle of the Pacific Ocean that will be making liquid fuel in the with carbon dioxide and water. We'll be making methanol or ethanol, and we'll be transporting that in tankers just the way we transport oil in now. And in which case, the infrastructure won't be as really that different as it is now. So that's one scenario, is big solar power plants in the middle of the oceans where there's an enormous amount of sunlight.
Do you think that solar fuel could provide a solution not just for the United States or the Western world, but for all of the world, all the developing countries that are hoping to power themselves on clean energy?
This is especially important for the third world countries, because this will bring energy where energy is needed in the third world. And it's extremely important to Africa, India, China, and so forth to get on board here, and because the conversion of these large countries and these large continents into solar energy is an absolutely crucial part of this program.
So I have just one more question, and that's, what's the most important thing you want to tell our listeners about your work?
Solar energy is going to be our hope for the future, a hope for the planet. And the most important message I can give your listeners is, start thinking solar.
You've been listening to Harry Gray, professor of chemistry at the California Institute of Technology. Our thanks today to the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.